You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Howdy, hour number two. We're coming to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Thursday around the country. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, Tiki and Tierney. Little respite from the hoops because we have plenty of time to get back to it, which we will. The three games tonight, all series tied up at one, all three series shifting scenes, which will be great. Different venues, different vibe, different fan bases, different vibe is here. Just a really good young man is in our studio and a hell of a player. Formerly of Alabama, of course, running back Josh Jacobs, who we met at the Super Bowl for a minute. Josh, welcome back, buddy. How you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
You ready to roll?
Yeah, most definitely.
You ready?
How excited are you for this? I mean, obviously, it's every young kid's dream to make it in the National Football League. I'm excited for you. You're playing the position that I used to field. You do what I used to do. You catch the ball. You run the ball. You do everything. This has got to be awesome for you, man.
Yeah, it's definitely a different feeling just to be able to be in this position. I'm very blessed to be here.
Let me back up to when you first committed to go to Alabama.
Yeah.
And that emotion. Because, I mean, Nick Saban is a legend. And Alabama's program is legendary. I told you, I went to my first Alabama game. I was at the Iron Bowl. And it was football like I had never experienced on a college level. What was your level of excitement then? And how does it compare to what you're getting ready to get into going into the NFL?
My level of excitement then is the same as now. It's just different phases. Just going to Alabama, I just wanted to prove a point that I belong. So I wanted to play on the biggest stage against the best people every day. So now I'm just going to be able to do that again at a higher level. So I'm definitely looking forward to the challenge.
Josh, aside from, you know, playing in front of 100,000 people every week and the expectation to win every week and basically the expectation to obliterate the opponent every single week, and if you don't win by 40, Saban's not really happy. One thing that all Alabama players say is, you know, I'm ready for the draft. I mean, Coach Saban gets us ready. Specifically, how does he balance, you know, winning games and doing his job as a college head coach, but also getting you and your teammates ready for the next level, get going on Sundays? How does he do that?
Well, he teaches you a lot, like, in the summer. You know what I'm saying? He makes us take, like, summer classes and stuff like that. We also have, like, meetings, or, like, whether it's, like, media training or, like, just, like, what to look for or learning about, like, managing your money and all of that kind of stuff. So he kind of builds you for everything.
It's almost like he's helping create his brand by building your brands. Like,
you, I mean, because we all together.
But you can't leave Alabama and go be a mess up. You know what I mean? I use a different word, but we're on national radio. You know what I mean? You can't do that.
Rolando McClain had a rough. I mean, some have slipped up.
But for the most part, they don't. And so a lot of that comes from how the program is designed, right? Yeah. It's particular.
It's very structured. I mean, everything he does is, like, routine. Whether it's, like, wake up in the morning, he eats at the same time, he has the same meal every day. So
he's one of those guys who eats the same thing every day.
Yeah, I don't know how you do that. Yeah, he's one of them.
That's probably so vanilla too. Yeah. Like Special K, something
he
like that.
He loves oatmeal cream pies. He eat it with every meal.
Does he every even lunch and dinner?
He's
getting a little belly. He still hides the belly. I don't know.
He still can run now.
Were you heavily recruited coming out of high school?
No, not at all. Not until the end. Like,
what
last
happened?
2 weeks.
What happened?
I honestly don't know. This is the question I get the most. I mean, the only big offers I had was Wyoming, New Mexico State. And then, like, two to three weeks before.
Wyoming, Mexico State.
I'm saying.
How the heck did you get to Alabama?
Well, it was a dude out of Texas named Koji Smith. He saw my highlights and was like, create a Twitter. I didn't have no social media at the time. Mm-hmm. He was like, create a Twitter, post your highlights, and I'm going to help you get recruited. 2 days later, I'm getting calls from, like, 10 to 15 coaches a day, just, like, surprised, like, that I'm in it. They was asking me, like, oh, you must have, like, character issues or something. Like, what's wrong with them, like, and things like that. But that's when all my offers started flowing.
Listen, some great talent slipped through the cracks. Yeah. I mean, so you were, I'm guessing you were probably a three-star?
I was a no-star until I got the...
no stars.
Is that right?
Until I got the Alabama offer, then they gave me three.
For a couple next years. Yeah. Josh Jacobs is with us here, former Alabama running back.
And
wow.
No, and no character issues, obviously. We've heard your story, the backstory, living you know, homeless for a little bit, mm-hmm. sleeping in your father's Suburban or
yeah,
SUV. And I mean, that had to be difficult, but it probably built some resiliency inside of you, like character that some people don't always experience.
I feel like it definitely gave me that edge. I feel like it gives me that it factor.
Yeah.
It's just like it means more. So everything I do is kind of like putting my all into it because I don't want to go back to a situation like that. So it definitely made me who I am today.
What does he say about your journey, or at least now that this is, it's not over, obviously.
Yeah.
It's actually really just beginning right now. What does he say about it?
He always just tell me to stay humble, stay rooted in who I am, always keep God first and keep the work ethic that I have. That's probably the biggest thing he tried to say. He tried to instill that into me the most.
That's pretty awesome. We're talking to Josh Jacobs here. So we were talking off air, and if you're not comfortable saying it on, that's fine. But so there's a couple teams that you think like you more than others. You want to divulge them? You get a sense of who likes you, or you still want to wait to
draft? I mean,
what are you feeling?
I don't know how it's going to play out or anything like
None
that.
None of us do.
But
We just pretend we do. Try to fool them.
But, I mean, I went on three visits with the Ravens, the Eagles, and the Colts. And
just three good franchises. Three good organizations.
Do you have
there.
A preference? Who'd, wow. you, who'd you grow up a fan of?
See, I didn't have a favorite team.
You didn't?
I just had, like, a lot of favorite players. You know, so I looked up to, like, a lot of running backs, and I kind of, like, try to steal bits and pieces.
Such as? Give us some names. Who were you guys?
My first, the very first one was easily LaDainian Thompson.
Oh, I loved LT.
And then it's like, you know, in Oklahoma, everybody's, like, Adrian Peterson fans. Mm-hmm. So it was just, like, those were kind of, like, my two big guys. And then Reggie Bush in high school, I mean, in college was crazy.
USC, that USC thing was incredible.
It was
Matt
crazy,
Leinart, that game at Notre Dame, that was incredible.
It's interesting you say those guys because when you look at your game, and I always reference this when I see you because I was at the Iron Bowl and it's all the pass that Tua threw to you that was inside shoulder pass. He actually had to throw it outside shoulder, which was beautiful, brilliant on his part because it was covered inside. You turned and tracked it and caught it over your outside shoulder, which, I mean, some receivers have trouble doing that. You're being positioned as the do-everything back.
Yeah.
And I think the NFL has evolved into that. Back when I was playing, there was a few of us that did it. Myself, LaDainian, but not a ton.
Falk.
Now everybody,
Falk
was obviously the initiator of it, but now everybody has to do that. Do you think that positions you well for what, I mean, really any NFL team?
Yeah, I think it does. I mean, just being in high school, like doing receiving routes before practice, every practice, and then my hands being as big as they are, I mean, that kind of helps me too.
Yeah. Well, you were a quarterback in high school?
Just my senior year.
Just your senior
year? Yeah, but he had no stars, so he wasn't good. He wasn't a good quarterback. That's obvious. Josh Jacobs is with us here on Tiki and Tierney. So, again, we were talking off the air. Josh got here a couple of minutes before we came on to start the second hour here on the show. And you go into the draft. You got about 10 or 12 family members. Mm-hmm. I know it's still a little inside of a week away. You have to think about it on some level every day, whether you're driving, whether you're laying in bed, whether you're working out, whatever you do, it probably never leaves you. What do you think you're going to feel when you walk up and get that hat, whatever hat it is, whatever jersey it is?
Honestly, I'm more worried about my suit. I got like three different suits.
We'll talk to us. We'll help you out.
I got like two or three different suits.
What are you crazy? Give us the
style. I mean,
I
got like a flashy suit. I got like a real basic suit.
Forget about the bed
now. Now, see, I can't really like. You just gonna have to see.
Describe flashy.
Wait, what's your personality?
How flashy?
Like,
see,
outside of being proper
chill,
for media.
I'm chill.
What's your personality?
Yeah, I'm chill.
Good
I'm
question.
Laid back. I don't like to do too much. I don't like to be around too many people.
Then do that.
You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, this moment is crazy.
You gotta look good, man.
You know what I'm saying?
I keep saying Josh is always gonna look like LeBron James going to get his first communion. You know, here's the Eucharist, LeBron. He was going to get his communion
man,
when he got dressed in
the
white suit.
He had a big suit on.
Yeah, he was like baggy. Now it's obviously different styles.
Yeah.
I think Tiki makes a good point. Whoever you are, and we know you're a good kid, but personality wise, day to day, minute to minute, reflect that in a wardrobe.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not overly flashy, don't go with a, you know, with a pimp outfit. If you, whatever. Just be you. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's do something nice.
Yeah, that's what BT tells me all the time. Be the geek that I actually am. Now, look, I've known Broderick forever. Broderick was my ball boy when I was with the New York Giants. And he's never given me a hat. You come walking in here with X-Tech pads, shoulder pads, hats. Tell us what you're doing with X-Tech pads. My kids wear these. They're both playing football up in Greenwich, Connecticut. I know how important it is because when I was playing, I had no idea what I was putting on my shoulders.
Exactly.
Tell us what you're doing with X-Tech.
Well, X-Tech is the shoulder pads that I'm definitely finna be wearing and going to be wearing in the league. I talked to a lot of former players like Landon Collins and even Odell Beckham. A lot of people wear them in the league, so I was just talking to them and asked them how did they feel about them.
Yeah.
And they was telling me about them. I was like, all right, I'm going to check them out. So I did a little research on them. Actually went to their facility yesterday, tried on the pads, and they're like extremely light.
Yeah.
And then they started to show me like how durable they are, but being so light, whether it's from the XRD technology with like military grade foaming or like the shock absorbent that they have built into the pads. So I mean, it's just all of that kind of made my decision pretty easy.
Nice. They flew you out in a helicopter right here.
A helicopter.
Did they really?
We was on. We toured all of New York.
Welcome to the Big
Apple.
We did
everything. Yeah, we was on the helicopter. It was dope.
That's great.
You couldn't have called me up. I mean, you know that's like 5 minutes from my house.
Oh, Josh, so you're in Jersey.
Let me ask you this, Josh. So Kyler Murray's probably going to go for. We Tiki and I would both be stunned if he doesn't go first overall. Next year, the anticipation is that your former teammate, Tua, certainly going to be in position to go number one overall. Mm-hmm. What is he like in the huddle? Personality-wise, we know he's a hell of a player with a great skill set. What's he like when there's no cameras? What's he like in the locker room? What kind of guy is he?
He's goofy.
That's good.
He's goofy.
Goofy
I mean,
can work.
Yeah. I mean, he's definitely goofy, but he's also, like, very different. Like, and I mean that in a good way. Yeah. Like their culture is different. So he's, like, very respectable to everybody. Like, he'll come up to you and pray for you and stuff like that. Like, it's just, like, very family-oriented. So he treats everybody like that. So, yeah.
His family dance before the games is incredible.
Yeah, it's like it's refreshing to be
it's
around.
It's like WWE.
Honestly.
It's like, what are these guys getting ridiculous? They're going to start wrecking people? That family's great.
Yeah. Playing a guitar and everything.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
So,
very eclectic. Tiki, you got one more thing for Josh?
Where do you want to play? Where do you want to go?
Honestly, anywhere tax free.
Anywhere tax free.
Save it.
You're right.
No,
it's going to save it and make them take those classes.
I love that.
What are you
going to
do with your money? That's awesome. Look, so get the right suit. Look clean.
Yep. X-Tech pads. You can go to the website. You change your website here, Bob? PressureCreative.com/X-Tech pads or X-Tech's PK. Every high school is wearing these pads now. All NFL teams are wearing all 32. So certainly check these out, www.xtechpads.com. If you have a kid that's playing football, you got to have them in them.
I love it. Yeah, he raves about them. Teak raves about them all the time. By the way, you watching the hoops here? Are you a basketball fan?
Oh, yeah,
you paid
big
attention?
Basketball fan.
All right, who are you rooting for? You just like watching good ball? Or
honestly, Russell Westbrook is my favorite player. He's my favorite player, and then Paul George.
But he has no chance. Who are you rooting for instead?
Enjoy the next week because it's not going to be going on a whole lot.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I like Giannis, too.
Yeah. So. Oh, yeah. How do you not like Giannis?
So, I mean, that's who I'm rooting for.
All right.
Hey, Josh,
well, listen,
good luck to you, man.
Josh,
thank you.
Enjoy the night. Enjoy the moment. You've earned it. Have a great time, buddy.
We're going to be down there in Nashville, so maybe we'll look you up.
That's
after,
dope.
After you get drafted.
What's he going to want to bother with us for? He's getting ready to get drafted. He wants to have dinner with us. Two old men? You want to hang out with us?
I'm still cool. I don't know about you, but I'm still cool.
Dude, look at me in this hat. Does this hat not look cool?
It do fit.
Honestly, if I walked in, you would think that I was the quarterback.
Right?
All right. Let's not get it twisted there, Tiki. By the way, can I keep this?
Oh, yeah.
Is this for us?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Here you go, Tiki. You take the one that's not there. All right, coming up next. Great job, Josh. Good seeing you again. Brett Brown. This is a story where he reportedly lost the locker room to the 76ers. There's a lot of problems with Philly. Let's see what they hit. How they hit the floor tonight. We'll get to this Brett Brown story. It's pretty interesting. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 855-212-4227. Brought to you by GEICO. Great news. There's a quick way to save money. Switch to GEICO. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes, save 15% or more on car insurance here on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206 on Twitter, at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 855-212-4227. I want to get into this unflattering story about the 76ers, but just to wrap it up with Josh Jacobs, you know, one of the great things that you and I know you love it as much as I do, is, is really getting to know these young men before they actually become stars and get drafted and make money. And, you know, I know that there you can put on a false front. I know that you can try to be something you're not. But it feels like more times than not, I mean, over 95%+ of all the players we've interviewed, and there's been hundreds of them going into the NFL draft in the 6 years you and I have worked together.
Yeah.
Overwhelmingly good kids.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of them get a bad rap because it's the same thing in the NFL. There's a couple of, you know, bad apples. But that's who we hear about all the time. Like the good kids who have great stories. I mean, he lived in his dad's car.
I know.
It's
amazing.
4 or 5 or 6 weeks or whatever it was. It's just an amazing story that of perseverance and, you know, not obviously on his part, but his family's part. And then he gets to this incredibly nurturing environment, which we don't give Alabama enough credit for, I don't think, that shapes you into a man. But all, I mean, he studied business administration, he was telling us, and pre-law. Obviously, he still got to go back and get his degree, but like he went to the right place that helped him become find his dream, which is awesome. And he seems like a good kid. We've met him a couple times. I would never say anything negative about him, and look, nothing but, you know, great hopes for his future. I told him too, because I think a lot of guys know this, they don't think about it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into the National Football League, really any sport, but particularly NFL for some of these kids. It raises your floor, right? You create a new floor for yourself that you use as a platform to jump to the next thing, the next thing, the next thing.
It's a great way to look at it.
You got to use it as an opportunity.
It's well said.
Obviously, you want to play well and be a great you know, athlete, and one of the best ever. But at the end of the day, you got a lot of life to live after football.
Yeah.
Use it the right way.
Are they all? I'm sure they all yes you to death, and I'm sure they're very eager to hear that. But do you get a sense that they actually understand what you're saying?
I mean,
because it's hard to do that at age 22.
It is, because you're not thinking about it.
But you can't possibly put yourself in that space.
But you have to. You really do, because you don't know when it's going to end. And it's this weird space you get caught in, because like every fiber of your being has to be focused on being great and making a team and, you know, excelling and you know, getting that next contract and being a star. Like you have to focus on it, but you also have to walk this parallel existence. And you know, basketball players have an easy time doing it because I think they make so much money. It's just easy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Football players, because of the atrocious nature and the fact that you're basically replaced in someone's mind every year. You know what I mean? And so you got to prove yourself every single year. There's no foregone conclusions except for maybe quarterbacks. And so you got to always think about everything, and it's hard.
But. Yeah. You know, I was just thinking, I don't know if you've ever been approached by the NFL, although, you know, well, the conversations we have off air, you probably would have mentioned it if you were. Why are you not talking to these kids? Like, why doesn't the NFL enlist you to talk to these kids?
They used to have
the rookie symposium. It's been modified. I get that. But they need to lean on people who are smart, who have experiences. And by the way, and everybody who knows Tiki, not every experience you've had as an adult has been pleasurable.
Oh, no.
We all know that.
Yeah.
Why are you not talking to these kids?
I don't know. I get lucky and meet guys like this.
Well, somebody needs to see this and make this happen with the NFL.
Agree.
Make this happen.
Yeah. I mean, because like Josh, I can talk to because Bob, I've known Bob forever. Bob,
The ball boy.
I wasn't joking. Bob was my ball boy.
That's incredible.
For the New York Giants.
Although 19-year-old ball boys get pushing. He asked him, I said, how long are you the ball boy? He said, 5 years, from 14 to 19 years old.
But
a ball boy.
But he's 14 when he started.
19, I think. Look, like a bad boy in baseball, but like a kid.
No, it's not. You can't be that little in football.
You're actually doing some drills.
You're doing a lot of work, man.
I'm just messing around.
It's like work.
No.
Right?
I know.
And most of them were grandkids, like mayor grandkids.
Yep.
Because there's like 40-something of them. Maybe more than that. 44,
is that many?
43. Yeah, it was a bunch of mayor grandkids.
And they're all set up pretty well.
Yeah, well, they're all grown, but ball boys. Yeah. So it was awesome.
That's a great experience.
And Bob was one of them.
Oh, my God.
He's not a mayor, but he was one of them.
No, I got you. Okay, so Josh Jacobs, first-round pick, 23-ish, 24, could be 19, could be 26. We'd be stunned if he falls out of the first round. But with running backs, you never know.
You never know. Look, Miles Sanders from Penn State, who was Saquon Barkley's backup, and then now obviously the starter last year, he's also in that conversation as one of the top backs. But far and above, the most complete and most versatile back in this draft is the kid we just had sitting here.
I agree, Josh Jacobs.
He's amazing.
And I'll back you up. You came back from that Iron Bowl. You said, this kid's ridiculous.
Yeah, he did everything.
I know. And we kind of knew it, but you know when I hear it from you, because to see him in person,
it's always
the little
different. It's always different to see somebody in person.
No doubt.
It's one thing to watch it on television and see the highlights, but to actually see the collisions through people, like he runs through people.
Mm-hmm.
DBs have no shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But he can catch the ball in the backfield. He's a great runner between and outside the tackle. So, I mean, I really like
him. Someone's going to be happy when they call his name. All right, let's get to this. So let me just pick this up. This is from the Daily News here in New York City. But the Sixers are a mess internally, with Brown having long ago lost the locker room following the acquisition of Jimmy Butler, okay? But before the acquisition of Tobias Harris, the breaking point came at a game in Portland when Brown had Bruce Bowen, former Spur, address the team about San Antonio Spurs culture. We know Brett Brown was a coach under Pop, obviously. That's the connection there. A speech that went over like a lead balloon to such an extent that Joel Embiid and Brown got into each other's faces.
Wow.
So let me unpack this part first.
Huh.
If you're in a locker room, I'm going to take you back to your play days. I know football's a little bit different. Basketball, you play every night. I get it. Or three times a week. It's a different energy and a different importance for each week. It is different. But if you're sitting in a locker room, and I guess I'll use Coughlin or Fossil. Coughlin brings Mark Brunell, I don't know, a former Jaguar, although he was still playing at that point, but just roll with it and just stretch it out.
I hear you.
And Coughlin brings in a former Jaguar to help, you know, further push his message and talk about the Jaguars' culture, which he is now envisioning becoming the New York Giants' culture.
Yeah.
Would you have a problem with that?
Probably, because we're not the Jacksonville Jaguars, just like the Philadelphia 76ers are not the San Antonio Spurs.
But what if the Jaguars had as many championships as the Spurs? Would it be a little bit different at that point?
But Brett Brown is not Pop. You know what I mean? He's not.
I don't think that he's saying he is.
I know. Okay. But you bring in Bruce Bowen, who we like.
Yeah.
I love Bruce, right? And he's going to speak about his experience with the Spurs. And I think it's just ill-conceived because you're basically telling this young, still very impressionable, but also like opinionated and I can't even think of the word.
Territorial?
Not really, but this they're young, right? And they're not like, yes, give me your sage wisdom. They're like, dude, we'll figure this thing out, right? We don't want to be the Spurs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just ill-conceived to have a guy come in and say, well, this is what we did with the Spurs and this is what works and you got to do this and selfishness and yada, yada, yada. That's not how they see themselves. Right? It may be what they need in order to be successful.
Yep.
But that's not how they see themselves.
But I don't But I don't think that, and again, I certainly wasn't in the room, but I don't think that Brett Brown, through extension with Bruce Bowen, was trying to communicate that stylistically they're going to play.
I think
accountability and all the things that all good franchises need and latch on to.
Yeah.
I'm surprised they took it this way. I don't think it speaks very highly for the players. I'm sorry.
It probably doesn't for both. So clearly Brett Brown didn't know you should know your players, how they're going to react.
That's right? True, too.
And if you don't, then you don't know your players.
Hmm.
It's interesting you mentioned at the beginning of that, WBT, the Jimmy Butler trade had a little bit of a negative effect, right? Because it's
Jimmy,
I don't know. We heard it early when he first got there that things weren't copacetic.
Yeah.
Parts of the end of the regular season. I mean, not to say he was a non-factor, but he was certainly not the guy they were looking to get buckets.
Mm-hmm.
And then once Tobias Harris came there, he was the guy. Like he became one of the catalysts. It's a weird construction of this team right now. And there's two young leaders, Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons, who were navigating in real time how to lead a team that's, I think, ill-conceived in construction-wise.
And you know what? I've got something on Ben Simmons before we get the update here from Jay, but historically, that usually doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Penny Hardaway and Shaq, fractured marriage.
It's true.
And we had Penny on at the Final Four. Mm-hmm. They're boys now. He's coaching Memphis. Got a lot of big-time players. Got a lot of five-star kids as well. But that didn't work. Kobe and Shaq always vying for the baton, always vying for the throne. I understand when you're young, you're trying to get yours, you're trying to get paid, you're trying to become the man. Nobody wants to be co-star. Everybody aspires to be the star.
You're right.
Now, the key is when you reach that level and you have several stars that are comparable, you need to suppress your ego enough for the betterment of the team to be okay with co-starring sometimes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, otherwise you're just going to drown yourself and suck the momentum and the life out of a team. But how about this? So a little bit more. To the degree in which Brown lost the locker room was amplified March 25 when Ben Simmons sat out. This was a 21-point loss to the Magic with what was deemed a stomach virus. In actuality, a source close to the team told the news Simmons had spent the previous night partying in Orlando.
Oh, geez.
And the stomach virus was a fallacy, although that is nothing new for the Sixers organization. They used to do the same thing when Allen Iverson was partying and gambling, blah, blah, blah. That's several generations ago and yeah. Several regimes ago. I don't even really care about that at this point. Larry Brown and different people, Pat Croce, yeah. So I don't know what we take away from this, but I could probably take this away. And I said this the other day when Tiki asked me, Brett Brown will not be coaching this team next year. And quite frankly, it wouldn't surprise me if Ben Simmons is not on this team in 2 years.
Interesting.
You know, I could be dead wrong on both. I won't be wrong on Brown. I could be wrong totally on Simmons. But doesn't it kind of just seem like it's trending? And
it does.
And they could come out and win by 18 tonight, and this could sound stupid.
Big picture. The news is not positive enough for a team that should be, like, elevating.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's right. I'm with you. All right, we got Jay's update coming up. Football of the 40s after that. We got to crack down the schedule a little bit and pick apart some of the cool dates, the released NFL schedule. We'll get to that after the update from Jay, which is right now. Here's Jay.
This is Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, the world's best, including Dustin Johnson, Francesco Molinari, who rinsed a couple at Rays Creek the other day, Tiger. Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth head to beautiful Hilton Head Island for the RBC Heritage coming up this weekend on CBS. So obviously, anything after the Masters is going to be a bit of a letdown. That's a pretty good field. I mean, you got DJ there. You got DeChambeau. You got Jordan Spieth. Okay.
Right.
Got a major winner in Molinari, who won the Open Championship last year. He beat Tiger. I'm curious how he rallies, how he responds to that. That was his first. And Greg Norman got eaten up at Amen Corner years back. You know, Tiger's had a few bad moments. Jordan Spieth had a horrendous crushing meltdown 2 years ago. I'm curious how I believe he's going to rally, and because I believe he's that steely demeanor, like that world-class competitor, but I want to see it.
He now knows, put it in the bunker. Put it in the bunker.
And take your five and move on.
You're right.
Just stay away from the double.
You're right.
Ready for a little football at the 40s, Tiki?
Yep, let's hit it.
Let's go.
40-yard kick.
Love football. We love football. So we give you football every day. It's Football at the 40 with Tiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
All right, well, let me just say this. The NFL better hope the Browns really are as good as most people, including us, think they'll be. The Browns open the primetime slate week 2, taking on my New York Jets on ESPN's Monday Night Football. In week 3, they take on the Rams. They host the Rams. That's going to be a lot of fun. That place is going to be on fire. Wow. The dog pound against the Rams week 3, Sunday Night Football, NBC. And then in week 5, they're going to play Monday night against the Niners. That's early with Garoppolo. Could be Bosa. Who knows if they take it second. Maybe they trade. And finally, they host the Steelers on Thursday Night Football in week 11. Now, they could flex after beginning in week 11, so you can always make an adjustment there if you have to. But let's hope the Browns are good for the networks.
Look, my initial thought is this is great for the NFL. It's obviously great for the Browns because they get some exposure. Baker Mayfield and Odell Beckham Jr., Jarvis Landry. They have skilled position players. Miles Garrett on the defensive side of the ball as well. They have so many names that they could be exciting. And if they're winning, it's kind of this resurrection story about the Browns franchise. The good thing is also if they're losing, then there's going to be some drama for us to witness as well.
That you can look at it that way, too.
Whatever the outcome of the first 5 or so weeks of the season, it's going to be interesting drama for the NFL. So, good job.
Well, I mean, listen, you can never predict really any sport, but specifically the NFL. So, it's always kind of a crapshoot. But I think the one thing, I mean, among many, the schedule makers tend to do when they align these games with the networks is that they take a team that has a ton of talent but has not proven themselves and is obviously trending in a very interesting position.
Yeah.
And they'll put them early. So at least if they lose a couple of games, you know, it's one thing to be 2-3 or 1-4 versus 3-9, and yeah, you know, you're locked in, although you can always flex out. But we are 2-7. You get it early enough where they're still intrigued, they're still the season. But I really hope they lose week 2 to my Jets. But the Browns are going to be good. And if they're not, then something went awry. I have a problem with. I want to switch this, and I'm sure there's been worse around the NFL. But you got to do a better job. This is a disservice to the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, all right? Check out this road-weary early part of the schedule. They host the Giants September 22nd. Mm-hmm. Then they have a 6-week stretch that includes 4 road games, a game in London on a bye week.
Wow.
Before, you know, finally getting back to Tampa on November 10th. So that is a long stretch being away and a lot of travel. That, you got to be a little bit more fair to teams.
They do. And I don't think that the NFL does this, but it doesn't feel like they're punishing the Buccaneers fans for not attending.
I think that's absolutely part of the calculation.
It's unfair.
For sure.
It's miserable for them because they actually might be good this year with Bruce.
I thought they were going to be pretty good last year.
I did too. And, you know, obviously the Jameis Winston suspension didn't have the effect on wins and losses because Fitzpatrick was playing so amazingly. Interesting, when he came back is when they kind of started to get shaky. But I think he brings stability, Coach Arians.
Yep.
And they may be good. And they may be exciting again this year. So we'll see if that affects them. Because being on the road that often is hard, BT. It's not like baseball or basketball where you have these extended weeks on the road. It's like you never go home. They're going home, but it's still hard to get on a plane and go play 4 weeks in a row, including one across the pond.
Different time zones, et cetera, for sure. As most of you know, this all 32 teams will appear at least one game primetime Thursday, Sunday, or Monday. And that's something they usually try to weave in some of the teams that are anticipated to be pretty bad. Let's throw them a bone early, get them on, you know, Monday Night Football early in the season when there's still possibilities with their season. But before you know it, it'll be football, and it's going to be a lot of fun things to watch. Can't wait. This isn't going to be fun. Not for the Jaguars. Not when Tom Coughlin's not happy, and he's not happy. Basically, Coughlin is unhappy, the executive VP of football operation for the Jaguars, that voluntary workouts were not attended by everybody. Tom obviously working under a different interpretation of the word voluntary.
Yeah.
You know him far better than I do. What's the story here? What should Jaguar players expect?
Well, I mean, I think there's a disconnect that's going on down there. We heard it at the end of the season when Tom was upset with Leonard Fournette and TJ Yeldon. It's kind of extended a little bit to the offseason now because guys in 2019 want to work out where they want to work out, right? We're going to all get together. We're going to go in Miami. We're all get together. We're going to go out to California. And so the off season, which has been, I don't know, it's been like emasculated in so many ways.
Yeah.
The guys don't
truncated,
take
exactly, sure.
And they don't take it as seriously as they used to.
Mm.
So in some ways this is Coach Coughlin being old school, but in a lot of ways it's a victim of the collective bargaining agreement. So you can't have it both ways. It's I don't know whose side to be on.
Yep.
But I know that Tom Coughlin is not going to be happy with guys not showing up for voluntary, meaning mandatory workouts.
Yeah, and some of his better players didn't. Jalen Ramsey's not there. Linebacker Telvin Smith not there. I mean, eventually Coughlin's going to get over it if they win some games here. But let's face it, the culture, the way the season ended and some changes down there, at least the quarterback. And some people thought Doug Marrone might get fired.
You're right.
He was given a reprieve, and I think we all agree he deserves probably one more year. Doug's a decent coach at worst. But that's a team that could go either way this year.
Great.
And I wouldn't put money that it's going to be in a positive direction. I got to wait and see on the Jaguars. I don't know about them. Take the Redskins. All right. The Redskins sign with a pretty interesting signing here. Defensive lineman. They added a 3-year extension here. This was Thursday morning. Now, listen, if you could explain to me what the Redskins' strategy. I'm not saying that I don't like this signing, but what is their strategy? What is their direction? Are they going to make a move for Josh Rosen? Are they going to move Dwayne Haskins?
It's funny because I'm looking at their roster right now. You look at the offensive side. Look, we know offensively they had a ton of issues with their offensive line. Morgan Moses, our guy,
he's from Virginia.
He was banged up a little bit. Shreff, who's a stud. Trent Williams, who's getting a little bit older. They're all banged up. Their left guard right now is Eric Flowers.
Oh, jeez.
To say it. So we know what's happening on the offensive side. Injuries and just kind of inexperience there. Matt Ioannidis is interesting because he didn't pop right away. He was a practice squad kid, but he grew into a significant role. And I think because of his ability to mesh well with Daron Payne and Ryan Anderson, Jonathan Allen, those two Alabama defensive linemen, this makes sense to keep some continuity on where their strength is. It's a 3-year deal. It's not, nothing that's breaking the bank.
Mm-hmm.
But I think keeping that continuity up front, especially because they run the 3-4, I think is imperative for them.
I love seeing stories like this, too. And there's a lot of them you have to look, but they're there to be found. Ioannidis, a fifth-round pick in 2015, he was initially cut.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a young man who had to really will himself to get what is life-changing money. Really happy for him. I mean, that's good for the defense. The offense, though, 29th in the NFL.
They were bad.
How do you average?
They were bad.
They were bad. And with all the rules that favor the offense and, the way the game, how do you average 17 points per game in 2018?
So this is why they're strengthening, or at least holding on, to the defensive side. We know what their issue is going to be. Their issue is going to be, how do we figure this out offensively? But defensively, we're going to be stout like they were last year.
All right, let's get to our buddy Saquon Barkley, who is, God just gave him too much talent. He's too good. He's too good.
You're right.
He's freakishly good. Oh, what a great kid.
He's freakishly athletic, too.
He gets it. But this is interesting. He might have some questions about the frustrations here on the part of Giant fans. Now, to be fair, he's only been here 1 year. He's obviously tilting toward the positive, which is not a bad thing, but he basically doesn't understand why Giants fans are so frustrated. I mean, I think there's a litany of reasons that they are.
Yeah, there's a lot of reasons. One, they haven't won in a long time.
They're tired of watching Eli.
And that's two. They want the excitement that he brings, but they know that it's been, at least perceptually, stifled a little bit because of the quarterback situation and the O-line situation. And so they're frustrated because they want to see a winner. They won a couple championships over the last decade plus, and now they want to be back there. It sucks sitting on the sidelines, not even thinking about being in the postseason. So that's the frustration.
Yep.
The expectation is really high.
It's a team that expects to win. Their fans, they've been exposed to several Lombardi trophies. Mm-hmm. Every generation's got one here.
Yep.
Unlike the other team that plays in the stadium where only one generation has it, and certainly I'm not part of that generation. But the Giants have been in one playoff game since 2011. They've 8-24.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I know. 8-24 the past two seasons. And I think a lot of the frustration, not that Saquon needs to calculate this. This is more our job, and certainly more so local New York radio and media. But it was very perplexing how they attacked, they had a trade for Landon Collins. Mm-hmm. They didn't trade him. Then he bolts. They get nothing for him. Did you get enough for Odell Beckham Jr.? What are you doing at the quarterback? There's just a lot of unanswered questions. I get why Giant fans are front. Do you have the right coach?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure Pat Shurmur. I'm not saying he shouldn't be brought back, but I'm not so sure he's going to be here in 2 or 3 years. I don't know. Their offensive line's deplorable. They got to get better. They got to get better.
That was Football at the 40 with Kiki and Tierney on CBS Sports Radio.
I don't know that they're going to be much better this year, though.
I think they will be.
Oh, stop. Based on what?
Based on Saquon.
It's a good basis.
And an offensive line that's just gotten a little bit better.
It has gotten bad. I said that they've been deplorable.
Yeah.
That was with Flowers. No, they have gotten incrementally better.
And they got better as the season
went
on.
Yes, they did. What do you think of the schedule?
The quarterback situation is what they need to figure out.
What do you think of the Giants' schedule?
The schedule's annoying because it's always at the Cowboys.
All right, we'll get past that. Yeah, you see a lot of wins.
Other than that, there's some wins on there.
Weeks 2, 3, and 4, Bills, Bucks, Redskins, those could be a couple of wins if you guys are ready to play.
The Vikings, who knows what's going to happen with their second year with Kirk Cousins. They're probably going to be more towards last year's expectations this year than they were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're going to be good. That'll be a tough game. The Pats are the Pats.
It's the only game that matters. Get the big L. Get the big L up against my Jets.
It's a meaningful game, Giants and Jets.
We got to have a big bet for that. We have to do something for that.
November.
And you better wear your Giants jersey in that day, because I'm damn 11th. Straight wearing my Jets jersey.
It's corny. I got to wear someone else's Giants jersey. I can't wear my own Giants jersey. That's corny.
Do you have a Lawrence Taylor jersey? He's done a lot of stuff with LT.
I think I do, actually.
Yeah, wear that then.
Here's the Jets schedule. Bills, Browns, Pats, Eagles. You guys got it rough.
No, early. I love it. That's always tricky just because it's divisional stuff, whatever.
It's home, though.
Okay. And the start's tough. The start, admittedly, is tough. You start getting into late October, Jaguars, Dolphins, no, all the respect, I don't, on paper, Giants aren't that good. Redskins on paper aren't that good. Playing the Raiders here, they have to come across the country. Bengals, Dolphins, I mean, I don't like finishing with the Ravens and the Steelers two of the final 3 weeks, but I actually like this game. And the Jets don't have to travel further than South Florida. They have no cross-country flights. I'm okay with the schedule. So I got my boy Sam to lead the Renaissance. Sammy D.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.